One cannot fulfill its purpose without the other. My grandparents' marriage had been more or less arranged by my grandmother's mother. After her mother's death, my grandmother would inherit a substantial amount of land, and her mother wanted someone to help safeguard her property. My great-grandmother Molly had always thought highly of my grandfather as a young man. She spoke with his mother, my great-grandmother Elizabeth, and the arrangements were made. My grandfather was a quiet, hard-working man, a very humble man, and always treated everyone with the utmost respect. I suspect those were the qualities that his future mother-in-law liked. My grandparents were married in 1920, and their marriage lasted until my grandfather died in 1975. My maternal grandparents raised me. In effect, I was their third child. If they ever raised their voices at each other, they didn't do it in my presence. They taught me about life, not so much by telling me how to live it, but by showing me. I can think of no other couple except for my paternal grandparents who treated each other with more respect firmly rooted in unconditional love. I could never think of one without thinking of the other. I couldn't then, and I can't now. And when they described the relationship of the bow and arrow, they were talking about themselves. If there was any weakness that either of them demonstrated, it was the occasional lost look I saw across my grandmother's face in the years after my grandfather died. I didn't realize how much she missed him until 2 days before she died. Standing near the foot of her bed in the hospital, I waited for a nurse to leave. A moment or two after the nurse left, my grandmother turned her head to the left and spoke. "Do you remember that log house by the river?" she asked quietly, even though there was a tube down her throat. I was about to answer that I didn't remember such a house when I realized she wasn't looking at me. She was looking at a particular spot just to the left of the foot of the bed. There was no one there, at least no one I could see. But no one can tell me that my grandfather wasn't there. No one can convince me that he didn't come for her. No one can tell me he wasn't in the room waiting for her when she died early in the morning 2 days later. We laid my grandmother to rest next to my grandfather. As my brothers and I and our male cousins were filling in the grave, I was suddenly compelled to look skyward. There, high above the cemetery, two hawks were soaring together on the wind. My maternal grandparents' wonderful relationship lasted a lifetime. My paternal grandparents were married 55 years before my grandfather Marshall died in 1974. Both couples made a commitment that never wavered, and I know without a doubt that they honestly loved one another. Their commitment went beyond this life, as was the case with a neighbor of mine nearly 20 years ago in a small town on the Rosebud Reservation. She was a middle-aged widow who had lost her husband to a heart attack. Each summer, on the anniversary of his death, she would rise before dawn and stand on the east side of her house, and as the sun rose, she would sing an honoring song for her husband. And throughout the day, she would take food to all her neighbors in his memory. She never remarried. Would that we could all win such love and commitment. The words to an old Lakota Kahomani, a round dance song, express hope and the promise of finding and having love, perhaps of being in balance. My relatives tell me you were asking about me. We will be together soon. Like so many other aspects of our existence, our values, traditions, and custom, love is all about balance. It is the way of the world that in every species there are two life forces, male and female. To deny this reality or walk outside of it would be to create imbalance. To bring a life into this world that is a consequence of lust rather than an offspring of the bond of love between a man and a woman is to give that life a burden that is certainly imbalance. Undeniably, imbalance does occur when someone walks a path outside of the natural order. Even among us, as with every other people the world over, there is homosexuality. But rather than ostracize anyone who treads that path and thereby create further imbalance, we choose tolerance, which often promotes understanding over strife. Among us Lakota, as with many other indigenous cultures, we include a place for homosexuals by not denying them the opportunity to be full-fledged members of the community. As such, they are part of and not apart from. Hence, balance is maintained. The love and hope expressed in the old song is more than a desire for two people to be together. It also carries with it the hope for balance and harmony. In a perfect world, two people who truly love one another and are meant for each other are always brought together. But in the real world, we know it doesn't always happen, or that it happens in ways we don't always understand. In the story of the Cottonwoods, the husband and the wife, who eventually stepped aside and selfishly to allow true love to run its course, knew that their sacrifice was the right thing to do, no matter how painful it might have been. The union of White Lance and Red Willow Woman was the world strengthening itself by taking one more step toward balance and harmony. And when they lost their lives prematurely, life itself found a way to reward them for their love and devotion and keep itself in balance. The young man, in the story of the flute maker, was understandably devastated when the love of his life spurned him. His pain and anguish gave birth to the flute, and it became the voice of his heartbreak. And when he played, the whole world paused to listen, because the young man's loss was not his alone. Cloud without Dawn Woman was an imbalance like sunrise without sunset, dark without light, up without down, the bow without the arrow. But when Dawn Woman realized the only course was to follow her heart, balance was restored, and thus the flute became an instrument of hope. Each time a flute sings, though it sings of hope and a promise of happiness, there will always be a tone of sadness to remind us there are two sides to everything and the world works best on balance. As an avid archer, I shoot my bows and arrows frequently. My grandfather taught me to handcraft primitive Lakota bows and arrows. A well-made bow and arrow have an aesthetic beauty all their own. There is nothing quite like feeling the power of the bow when it is drawn, unless it is the exhilaration of watching the arrow fly toward its target. This simple activity demonstrates a profound truth. It matters not whether one is the bow or the arrow. What matters is the mutual purpose they fulfill, the balance they achieve.